truly beginners. It doesn't matter, but I just want to know where we should start here. Okay, thank you. How many of you are energy? Okay, now how many of you are velocity? Okay. Well, tomorrow at 10 o'clock, as you probably know, we'll be separating. The energy will stay in this room, and for the first time in history, the velocity will go to the smaller room. That might give you some hint as to where it's at. But beginners should understand velocity before they try to go to energy, because if you don't understand the principles, then the esoteric deviations will have little meaning for you. It has been rumored, and I read it in Phillips, and I read it in all sorts of places, that the Sartan methodology is very, very difficult. Anybody agree with that? I don't. I think it is not easy. I have always stressed that it's not easy, because if you think of something as being easy, that you can make $600 and some odd dollars a day in the case of a substantial bettor, and $260 in the case of people who never bet more than $3 a position yesterday. Did we ever bet more than $3 a position? I don't think we, Jimmy isn't here. He doesn't like beginners. It is. Oh, he believe me, you, when Jimmy get to talk to you, he tell you go raise guppies if you can't make this thing work. But we'll be a little bit less sensitive to that principle. But this method is really very, very simple, as opposed to easy. So for you real beginners, let me just tell you the entire essence of the method. Instead of complicating it with all your ways that I've seen it complicated, and thus destroying its effectiveness, a race starts here. They call that start. And it finishes here. Can you all see these? And it goes like this, sort of, you know. Horses kind of decelerate from the beginning to the end. How many of you in your past discipline were speed handicappers? That's not very many. How many of you in your past discipline were strictly class handicappers? And that leaves something in the middle that I don't know about. What is it?
Pace.
Okay. You're always... So the rest of you actually know what pace is. See? You have no problem. Now, what we do is we simply break that into three different races. And we're going to have one horse that's going to win this race. Somebody be behind him. And maybe another horse will win this race. And another horse will win this race, the third race. Yes. Through three stages of a race. Now we break these down into lots of esoteric terms like factor W, which combines various qualities. The X, which Dick will go over all these definitions to refresh you. And late pace, or the third fraction. That's all it is. If you look at it that way, you see it becomes highly simplified. We just have three shots at the race as opposed to one, where speed handicappers only had this number. Pace handicappers have all three. Now, it's what you do with those three that makes you a winner or makes you fail to see the value of pace and makes you a non-winner. How many non-winners do we have? We don't have any losers. How many non-winners do we have? Not too bad. Not too shabby. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, I might embarrass you, just stand up and give me 1 minute on to why you're still a non-winner. And start over here. We're all friends here, so don't have stage fright. Over here I saw a hand. Well, what do you think that if we could teach you, it would keep you from being a non-winner? What's your present problem? Okay. Interpreting readouts and setup times, right? Bob Purdy is with us today, and he's in one of his better stages, and he's going to answer all these questions about that. Doesn't seem to. Mountain will have to go to Manhattan. All these Rotarians are loud. Is that the horse player? All right. Cajun, this is the guy we named the Cajun after. What do you think you need? What's bugging you?
I just
got to
get more committed.
More what?
I got to get more committed to
it. More committed. You feel that were you committed, then you wouldn't have the problem. Okay, well, coming here shows that you're committed. But since we've committed you, by Monday we'll let you out. A lot of you should be committed, really. Yes, sir.
When an early quits and sustain takes over.
Oh, okay.
Repeat the question.
He wants to know when early quits and sustain takes over. Well, in essence, early, we call early up to the second call. But sustain has a portion of early in it because it combines second call and third fraction. But an early horse is a horse that is very close.
When a horse cannot go all the way.
Oh, that's very easy to tell from your readouts. What program do you have?
Energy.
Okay, well, we'll go into that. Yes, we'll go into that very much. And if that's your only problem, then you're a winner already, because I can handle that in 5 minutes. Anybody else here? Yes, sir.
Pace line selection and the matchup.
Okay, pace line selection used to be the most difficult problem people had. You know why? Because they thought it was a problem. And as long as you think it's a problem, it will always be a problem. Do you have the energy generator?
Yes, just got it.
Okay, and that will help you. And the K-Gen, which you're getting as a gift, will absolutely solve that problem. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Oh, that's good. Well, he's not here. You won't get a lot of consistency on your Brohammer model if you do it from your handicapping. Do you do it from your handicapping or from the results charts?
Results charts. But just when I think I've got the track figured out.
It's going to change. That is our advantage, not our disadvantage.
But it happens so often, I can't put my finger in.
Then you won't have any trouble when you get your cage in, because it doesn't give a damn. It is nonlinear. The problem with the Brohammer model, and Tom will be here and will acknowledge it, is that it only works on the higher class races where the horses are very consistent in their running style. Your track conditions will cause it to deviate. Probably not as much as you think. If you got a copy of your Brohammer model with you? Well, talk it over with Tom, and he's very reasonable on that. We found that, remember, he derived the Brohammer model from a Class A track, and they're more consistent at the races where his play dominates. And we have an answer for that, and I'll let him present that as a part of his. Are you using what program? Energy? Then you don't have to really work. We do not keep a Brohammer model with energy. Absolutely, do not keep a Brohammer. Everybody hear that? We do not keep a Brohammer model with energy.
No.
Absolutely.
She keeps it for meeting energy, though.
And that's not working. The two things you should keep a model on, which you will call it a Brohammer model, are your MUV and your UXR. That will give you a working model. The meeting energy, if it doesn't work for you, concentrate on the UXR, and the EXDC early and late. Don't try to model the readouts. Because the readouts, the reason energy exists, one of them is your problem. The Brohammer model doesn't work, therefore we produce a program that tells you how the track's going to run for that particular race. It's called the Varigate. And your Varigate should be working at least 67% of the time. Now, that's the national average. So that's really why energy was created, to overcome the problems of the previous programs, which required a lot of thought, where energy is really an idiot program. I like it. And I like idiot programs. I don't like to think too much. I just like to go up there. It's tough enough for me to get up out of my seat and hobble up to make the bet, then go back to your seat and then have to hobble up and collect the money. Well, Jim will tell you, yesterday was a horse going to pay $6.20. I said, Jim, I'm not going to walk up there for $6.20. If anybody's going up there, you can take my bet. Otherwise, heck with it. The only reason I bet the one who played 420 is because it had a good exacted possibility. Any other questions? We'll answer all these in great detail throughout the seminar. Anybody have a question? Anybody lying? Okay, you're all... That's all we got to solve?
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
Psychology.
I'll drill that some of that into you. That is 80% of it, folks. And I know a lot of people, they like to go out in the hall and smoke or resist or just go to sleep when we talk about the psychological factors. If you can overcome those, then you can win with anything. I mean, you can win with eyeball skin. Ask Jim Bradshaw. You don't need a computer. But the very reason for a computer is that it verifies what you could have figured out yourself if you were uncontaminated. If your mind were completely free, you would see these things. And the KGen is the best thing we have to offer that offers no need for you to know anything. Because it will, the big problem with the KGen, and we'll show you a couple examples here since everybody's here practically. The big problem with the KGen is that you will not believe what it tells you. And, you're thinking linear, logical, linear, yesterday's news thinking. You say, oh, hey, that horse was beaten 8 lengths, and he's going to pay $80. He can't possibly win. There's something wrong with the KGen. And you won't bet it. And when it comes in, you say, well, that was a fluke. Believe me, you're going to have a lot of that. That's the biggest thing you're going to get over in the next 6-7 weeks after you get this program, is believing it. And it was the same with a lot of energy readouts. People just wouldn't believe, and that course can't possibly win. Well, you're going to have to learn. Yes, sir?
We've just been running your simple, handy, free program for about 3 or 4 years and been doing fine. What's the difference between it and the KGen?
Oh,
I have no idea.
All the difference in the world, but if you're doing well with handy, you're a very healthy, mentally healthy man.
And lots of winners at Remington Park.
Listen, you're a healthy man then. Did you hear that, guys? This guy's using Handy. Remember Handy? Well, you got a Timex?
You mean computer?
Yeah.
No, I got a wire to the Tulsa Tribune computer system. At work. We got it in the system. We just run it up
there. Oh, yeah. You do have the program, though.
Oh, yeah.
One of our
programs. Yeah, well, we have it in the system. Well, I don't have to plug it
in. In other words, you've got Handy, the Timex, old Handy Timex program in a modern computer.
Right. Exactly. What's the difference between it and the KGen that you're going to give us as part of this?
Well, we'll show you. The KGen KGen's like a black box. It just tells you, boom, boom, boom. And you have to think with the other one.
Is that going to hurt handicap you not to think?
Not our people. There's it's something wrong with me for this. We have the largest single integrated organization in the world of handicappers, PERCO. Not very large, but it's larger than anybody else's. And we have the worst handicappers in the world to go along with it. When I say worst handicappers, now, I include myself in that group because I'm not a handicapper. Jim Quinn will say, somebody said, why didn't you put starting in your book? He's not a handicapper. He's a numbers man. He just pushes buttons and that's what it tells him, and fortunately he has a program that when he tells him makes him a better handicapper than I am, but he's not. And here's what I'm going to quote, and Tom Brohammer will admit this too. How many of you have heard of Jim Quinn? How many of you have heard of Andy Beyer? How many of you have heard of Tom Brohammer? See, great, you've heard more of those other guys you have. All right, and you go right down the line. Let's see, who else did we have up in Dick? If I can. Who else did we have up there that was famous?
Me.
Well, I
don't know who that...
How many of you heard of Dick Schmidt? How many of you don't take the follow-up? We're going to correct that. Believe me, nobody leaves here without taking a follow-up. That's the only thing I ever pushed. That's the only thing I've ever pushed. You can not buy anything else, but if you don't have the follow-up, I can't help you. Because I cannot sit around...
Are you talking about Expo?
Yeah, some famous names.
Paul Mellows and
Hold it. We got Andy Beyer and Jim Quinn. Don't you?
Paul Mellows.
We had Rogozin. You all heard of Rogozin? But I mean, who's
Paul
famous?
Mellows,
Ron Cox.
Famous. Ron Cox. Cox. We had
Davidowitz. They've all heard of Davidowitz. Okay, he's all right.
What about Huey Mall?
Huey Mall.
Huey Mall was there.
Okay, you all heard of those guys. Well, forget Huey Mall. He's one of us. But all the other big names will say this, and I quote them, and they've all said it one way or the other. I would rather lose being a purist handicapper than be one of those sartan guys and win. Now, I'm not... Jim Quidd said that's why he didn't put me in his book. He said, sartan is not a handicapper. He doesn't know that I can eyeball scan races. I never told him about that. But I don't handicap in the traditional puristic way. Neither does Jim. Neither does Dick. Neither does Bob. Bob was closer than anybody for a while. Brohammer is the only one in our organization who handicaps.
Death or what?
No. We're talking about handicapping versus using this methodology.
Oh.
You used to handicap. You used to keep trainer records. You used to keep all sorts of junk. And Brohammer's the only one we had. What he is the apologist for us to the rest of the world. Because they really have a lot of contempt for the fact that we win more than they do, and we don't know anything about handicapping. So this is why we make the programs more sophisticated, because I know that you're just as stupid as I am, most of you, about traditional handicapping. But they take pride in saying... And you've heard this, Bob, and you've heard this, Dick. Dick's especially heard it. I would rather lose being a pure handicapper than win with the sartan stuff. Crap, junk, whatever they call it. See, they don't... If they looked at the engine, the cage engine, that you're going to get, and they saw that $60 horse come up, beating eight lengths, they would say, I don't want to get that horse, because that does not conform to my logic, my linear logic of what a horse race should run. There are linear thinkers, every one of them. Andy Bard just scratches his head when he sees us get winners. Here's another hotline for you there. See the young lady at the door? Yes, sir.
What do you mean by linear thinking?
All right. Good. I'm glad you asked that. I am glad you asked that. All right. Linear thinkers say... If they're, and they're into pace, they say, well, one is better than two, and two is better than three. That's a three. Therefore, and you want to go on, three is better than four. They say that makes one better than four, because one's better than all the ones before, and two is better than four, and three is better than four. But we know that four very frequently is better than the rest of those combined because of certain factors that we ascertain from our program. Linear handicappers think, okay, whatever they ran, you find out what that speed was on that day relative to a thing called par, which the horse has never heard of, and then you adjust the horses all to this par, and you give them an adjustment to equalize them, and that's a bunch of baloney. Not for you beginners who are using velocity. It has value. But I've never known a person in this organization, except for Tom Brohammer, who could use variance properly, correctly. They always over-adjust. So, pars do not exist. God made all men equal, right? It's in our Declaration of Independence, and Lincoln reiterated it. But the same God made all horses one-fifth of a second apart. That's not fair. I know God very well, and he wouldn't do a thing like that. You've got to remember that the race itself that they're in today creates 80% of the variant. Only 20 involves the track speed or the condition of the track or the condition of one track to another. If you think otherwise, you belong with the traditionalists. It will keep you from winning with this method. Yes, sir? You had a question? Yes.
The problem I'm having is sprinters going to the grass and the dirt for the first time when the field has an abundance of proven grass runners in it.
I can give you... a ballpark figure on that, it's a problem anybody would have. Where do sprinters go into, where do they have dirt sprints and turf sprints? What track?
Arlington.
Arlington Park. Arlington Park is pretty easy to beat. So whatever, I've got a fellow, he's not here, who just does marvelous at that. But the technically what the difference is the turf course is one course. It could be not in Arlington, Illinois, it could be in South Florida. They just happen to be positioned aside each other. There are two different tracks. You can't relate them. Therefore, you have to determine the running style of the horse. If a dirt horse cannot win on the dirt because he's too fast too early and dies at the end, then he's got trouble going into a turf race, which demands more late energy. So they put an early horse in, whether he's turf or dirt, he has far less chance of winning on the turf until he proves otherwise, which could be the race where you bet him improperly. And we all do it. You got to lose some, but the technical aspect of this is that check your turf on your energy generator or your KGM when you get it. Check the amount of energy this horse needs or the amount of velocity if you're in velocity in the sustained pace area, in the late pace area. I thought, if a sprinter coming from a dirt is not winning because he starts out too late and he comes in third or fourth or something with a good third fraction but he doesn't quite have enough, he's probably being put on the turf because he's a closer. Closers win on the turf, even though they run wire to wire. Don't let that fool you. It's their energy yield. So they have to have more energy yield late when they go from dirt to turf. And a turf horse that goes to the dirt is probably one who's too early and can't have that sustain his energy to win on the turf, so they put him on the dirt where he's a world beater. Now, that's a ballpark answer. It is dependent on your own track. Find out what your own energy values are by distance, by surface. And you'll get over that problem for the most part. If you know a horse has to have 53% of its energy late to win on the turf, look for a dirt horse who's closest to 53. And vice versa when you're doing an early situation. Anything else? Nonlinear takes into consideration things that our minds are not specifically trained to unless we train them. You don't have to be a nonlinear thinker, which I think the only two we have are Bradshaw and myself. You don't have to be a nonlinear thinker to take advantage of a nonlinear program. But the problem is, linear thinkers will not accept the readouts of the KGEN. They say that's impossible because it is.